praise and adoration toward Him. I want to look at a scripture tonight, just one scripture, and I'm not really taking it out of context, but it is something that's going to take place in the future, found in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, something that's going to take place in the, I believe, the near future. But when you look at this verse, you can see that it's been this way all along. And God sent His Son to save us from our sins, to redeem lost mankind back to Him. God sent His Son to redeem creation, and creation groans and is crying out for that day when we'll fly away and Jesus will come and renovate this earth and make a new heaven and a new earth. Well, let's look at what this verse says. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. When you think about this passage of Scripture, so many things just jump right off of the page at you. When you look at it, you see that the central theme here is someone called the Lamb. And let me tell you, throughout the Scripture, from Genesis to Revelations, the Lamb has been the center of God's love letter to us. Amen. Revelation 13 says, before the foundation of the world, there was a Lamb slain. You see, God, when He decided to create the world and all that is in it, He knew that we could not live up to His holiness and His righteousness. He knew that there would take a Redeemer to come and redeem us, restore us back to God. And He knew that that was going to be the Lamb, which is His Son, Jesus Christ. And He was going to have to lay down His life for the sins of the world. And yet God chose to do that because He loves us. When you think about the Lamb, He's the center of everything. The Scripture says He created all things. Colossians 1:16. And by Him all things consist. They stay together. All things are created by Him and for Him. And you see, He holds the world in His hands. He is the center of all of life. He's the center of the whole universe. He's the creator of it all. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Well, when you look at our civilization or our society, you see that we used to mark time B.C. before Christ, A.D. Anno Domini, in the year of our master or of our Lord. But you know what? Heathens decided we don't want that time to be marked by some god. So they changed it to C.E., the common era. And before that is B.C.E., before the common era. Well, let me tell you, it doesn't make any difference what they mark it out as. Jesus Christ is the center of it all still. And they can say what they want to say and they can rant and rave. And when I get on point number two, we're going to see that the heathen shake their fist at God. But one day God's going to come back. And He's not going to come as that lamb that was slain, but He's going to come as that lion of the tribe of Judah. And He's not going to have the throne of grace any longer, but He's going to come and it's going to be a throne of judgment as He executes judgment and vindication for His people that have served Him. Jesus Christ is the center of it all. In Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we read about John having a vision of the future. God said, I want you to write things that you have seen, things that are going on right now, and things that are in the future, things that are going to take place hereafter. And so we are in Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the hereafter. And the church is gone. And John sees a vision, a glimpse of the throne room. And there he sees 24 elders symbolizing the saints of God who have been redeemed according to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. And they fall down and they worship the Lamb that was slain. And they cry, unto him blessing and glory and honor and power be unto you, O Lord. But you know, before John got to say that blessing, he saw a vision of one sitting on the throne that had a scroll in his right hand, and it was sealed with seven seals. And the question went out, who is worthy to take this book and to open it up and to divine to us the things that are in it? And they searched heaven and earth and even under the earth, and there wasn't anyone who could step forward and say, I can open the book. And you see, Jesus was there standing. And not because he's the greatest military mind that's ever lived, not because he's the wisest philosopher that ever lived, but because he was the Lamb slain for the sins of the world, he was able to step forward and say, I am worthy to open that book and reveal its contents. And he stepped forward and he broke those seals and he showed John what was going to take place in the future. But you see, John wept so bitterly because no one could step forward and open that book until Jesus stepped forward. Why was Jesus worthy? Well, he was worthy because he created it all. Jesus was worthy because he spoke everything into existence and he holds it all together. And if he ever decided to not hold it, it'd all disintegrate. But you see, he sustains what's going on. But Jesus not only is the creator, but Jesus was worthy because of Calvary. You see, something a military leader could not do, something the wisest philosopher in the world could not do, but the Lamb of God could do. And that was he could lay down his life for the sins of the world, and the Father could look at it and say, I am pleased. And he could restore us to a Father that loved us. Jesus was worthy because he was the Lamb that was slaughtered, is what that word means. He was crucified. But when John saw him, he saw a Lamb standing in the midst of the throne. A Lamb standing, not laying dead upon his back, not lifeless, not breathless, but a Lamb that was standing in power and in majesty and in wisdom. The Lamb was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was worthy because not only was he crucified as the sacrifice for our sins, but he resurrected, demonstrating that nothing in this world could hold him. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Jesus is worthy because he resurrected from the grave. He's worthy because he gave his life to redeem us. And those 24 elders in Revelation chapter 5 fall down and worship him and they sing a new song. Let me tell you, it's really the old, old song. It's the old, old story. The good news that the Redeemer came to save us from our sins and to redeem us back to the Father. And creation cries out for redemption. But Jesus heard those elders singing that new song, and it was, you are worthy because thou hast redeemed us. Jesus is not worthy just because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because he's the root of David. Jesus is worthy because he redeemed creation from sin and from destruction and gave his life because he loved us. Greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Well, the Lamb is the center of this passage of Scripture. But look, the second thing. They shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb is facing conflict. The Lamb is facing war. Now, just think about that. Can you imagine? Jesus, Acts 10:38 says, and Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, restoring relationships, freeing people from bondage of addiction. And like he did the demoniac at Gadara, he found the man in the cave and he set him free from the demonic possession that he was surrounded by. And yet, people want a war against the Lamb, who went about doing good, who never once in his life had to say, I'm sorry. Never once in his life did he do anything that was against the will of his father. But he sought to lift people up. He sought to encourage them. He sought to set them free. And yet there are people who want to war against the Lamb. How unthinkable is that? A man that would lay down his life for his friends. A man that did lay down his life for his friends. And yet there are people that will shake their fist at God and rage against Him. Psalms chapter 2 says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine an empty thing, a vain thing? Why have the rulers of this earth and the kings of this world set counsel together to move against our God and to reject His reign upon them? It's a vain thing to imagine that they can do that. But you know, there are still people out there today who are in conflict against the Lamb of God, who came and gave His life to save them from their sins, who came to redeem them so that they wouldn't have to spend eternity in a place that Jesus created for the devil and his angels. Jesus didn't come into the world, John 3:17, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And yet there are people that would war against Him. It's unthinkable to me that people would war against the Son of God who loved them and gave Himself for them. But people are out there that do that and hate God. But you see, people like us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we have come and we have tasted and we have seen that the Lord is gracious. And we've received Him into our life and we've let Him change our lives by His transforming power. And we know that Jesus is gracious and merciful. The day is coming when those that have shaken their fist at God and have rejected His love and resented His lordship will bow down before Him and they'll have to confess that He is Lord. Many people are in conflict against God today and in conflict against the Lamb. They don't understand that the Lamb of God is not some tyrant that wants to swing at them with His balled up fist and destroy them. But He wants to reach out with an open hand and He wants to give them an extension of His mercy and He wants to lift them up and set them free. If you can picture Peter as he's walking across the water and the storm comes up and Jesus called him and said, Peter, come to me. And Peter stepped out of the boat. Wherever Jesus was, that's where Peter wanted to be. And he started walking across the water in that storm. And then all of a sudden he saw his circumstances and the things that were going on around him, and he began to sink in the water. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached His hand out and He lifted Peter up out of the water. I want to tell you, those that are in conflict with Jesus today, they don't understand that His arm is extended in mercy to bring them to a God that loves them and to lift them out of their desperation and their discouragement and set their feet on solid ground and give them a new life and make them a new creation. And yet they want to stand and resist Him and resent Him and war against Him. Well, there's a war against the Lamb. But let me tell you, read on in the next phrase. But the Lamb shall overcome them, for He's Lord of lords and King of kings. The Lamb has got a conflict, but the Lamb is going to make a conquest. You see, those at war against Him, they don't realize they can't win the battle. The battle's already been won. This book has already been written, and throughout all the pages of this book, things have been written in 600 B.C. and 700 B.C. and 1000 B.C. and it tells the complete history of God's unfolding plan to man. And not one prophecy has ever been proven false. They declare the wisdom and the counsel of God. And people that resist God and fight against God don't understand that it's already written. God already knows what's going to take place. It's as if you videotaped some game on TV and you came home and you found out what the score was and your team won and you look back at the game and they get behind and you wonder, you worry, Are we going to be able to catch up? Are we going to be able to win this game? But if you know what the score is, you don't have to worry about it. You can rest in it because you know how it's going to end. Well, that's what God's given us in His love letter. He's given us His truth. He's given us His wisdom. He's given us His foreknowledge. And when the battle's over, the conquest is going to be a victory for the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them. He has prevailed, it says earlier in the book of Revelation. And overcome means He will crush, He will conquer, He will destroy. He's going to make that conquest. Now, there's a lot of people today that don't believe that Jesus is real. They don't believe that Jesus is coming back. They don't believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But let me tell you, someday their knee is going to bow. Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God's given Him a name above every name. It's exalted above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Even the devil is going to confess, "You are Lord." And every person that has warred against the Lamb is going to submit to His rulership because He's already conquered death and He's going to work His plan in our lives and throughout our world till He brings it to completion and He takes us to be with Him and we celebrate His victory throughout eternity in a place that He's prepared for us. That 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, "I hadn't seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, those things that God has prepared for those that love Him." And you know, we just can't fathom, we can't comprehend the beauty, the magnificence, the majesty, the splendor of that place that God's prepared for those that love Him. But for those that reject Him, for those that resent Him, for those that war against Him, they will bow someday and say, "You are Lord." Reminds me of the story of Saul of Tarsus when he was persecuting the church and he was on the road to Damascus to find some more Christians to persecute. And he was already bragging about having killed Stephen, stoning him to death. And he was on his way to Damascus to do the same thing to some of those other Christians that were in that cult. And on his way, a bright light shined and he fell down on his face. And the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And Saul looked up and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And you see, someday all of those heathens that have raged, all of the kings of the earth that have rejected Him, all of the peoples of the earth that have spurned His love and have turned their back on Him, someday, they're all going to bow on their knees and they're going to look up and say, "You are Lord." And they're going to submit to His rulership. But it's going to be a sad day for them because He'll say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity." And they'll spend eternity in a place that He prepared for the devil and the devil's angels. Well, He's going to overcome them. The Lamb is going to win the victory. Daniel prophesied it in the 6th century, 500 and something B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar had a great dream. God took this heathen king and He showed him something in a dream. And Nebuchadnezzar comes to Daniel and he said, "I heard you can interpret dreams." And Daniel said, "No, but the Lord can. He's a revealer of secrets. If you give me some time and let me pursue Him, I believe He'll reveal what your dream is." And Nebuchadnezzar saw a great image, head of gold, shoulders of silver, waist of bronze and brass, and legs of iron and clay. And Daniel said, "Nebuchadnezzar, that's four great kingdoms that are going to rule the world. And they're getting inferior as the metals descend in value, gold to silver, bronze, and iron and clay. That's what the kingdoms of the earth are going to be." We look at them and we see a monstrosity. We see a big, great image made of gold and silver, bronze and iron. And we say, "Man, what a magnificent picture of the governments of the world." But a few chapters over, God gives Daniel a dream and he shows Daniel what God sees in government. Ravenous beast, like a lion, a leopard, a bear. And from that, you see God's perspective on how man has corrupted things in the world. You see how the kings of the earth have always sought to climb the ladder and be the absolute ruler and be better and greater than any of their competitors. We still see that in the world today. That's why there's no peace. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But you know what? There's coming a day when Jesus Christ is going to roll back those clouds and He's going to come and He's going to rescue His people. After He's already taken those that are saved to heaven with Him, He's going to have 7 years of tribulation where He pours out destruction and wrath upon the world. And then He's going to come back and He's going to save Israel. And then we that have been born again are going to reign with Him on this earth for 1,000 years. Let me tell you, He's got a conquest that He's going to make. But then look at the next part. He's going to overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. There's a coronation that is going to take place because all power in heaven and in earth has been given to Him. And even though there are kings in this world and there are rulers in this world and we have presidents in this world, let me tell you, all of them are under Him. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. And someday He is going to reign completely and fully in His lordship. And He's going to rule the world in righteousness and in peace. And the lion will lay down by the lamb. And you see, Jesus will be coronated as the King of kings and as the Lord of lords because He won the victory, because He was worthy, because He overcame those that warred against Him. But let me tell you the part that is so exciting. That is the last part of this verse. He's King of kings. He's Lord of lords. And they that are with Him are called. They're chosen. And they are faithful. The greatest part of that verse is He's got companions. You see, He came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to redeem fallen mankind. That's you and that's me. And if we come to know Him and we ask Him to come into our hearts and save us, forgive us of our sins and transform our lives, then we become His companion and we are with Him. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't come to build an army so that He could whip the devil. He doesn't need any help whipping the devil. He just gave us the privilege to go along with Him and celebrate His victory. We're not going to have to lift a finger. All we've got to do is be with Him, and we're going to go with Him, and by the word of His mouth, He's going to consume His enemies and destroy them. And then He's going to give us the privilege to reign and to celebrate His victory throughout eternity. Oh, I ask you tonight, are you a companion of His? Are you with Him? Are you on the other side that is still warring and doing conflict with Him? Or have you come to the place where you said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart, change my life, make me one of yours. And if you're one of His, someday you're going to hear the trumpet sound, you're going to hear the voice of the archangel, and we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. And the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that day when I can see His majesty and I can fall down and worship Him, never to be separated again, never to face sin or temptation again, but to experience the wonder, the majesty of the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and to be throughout all eternity celebrating and fellowshipping His victory. Well, I ask you tonight, do you know Him? Are you with Him? Are you one of His? There may be some of you tonight that have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, He's not ready to slap you. He's not ready to knock you down. He didn't come into the world to condemn you. He came as your only hope of rescue. He came to give His life to save you from your sins. And what you must do is ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart and to change your life. And simply by asking Him to do that, He'll make you one of His. By His transforming power, He'll cleanse your life and He'll make you a new creation. I'm going to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. Perhaps there's someone here tonight that would like for me to pray with you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never trusted Him. If that's you, if you're saying tonight, I'm not a Christian, I'm not saved, I'm not born again, I'm not with Him, but I'd like for you to pray with me. You'll just slip your hand up and slip it right back down. Thank you. Is there another? Thank you. Another. Just slip it up and slip it back down. He'll change your life. Thank you. Slip it up and slip it back down. Now for those of you that raised your hand, you pray this simple prayer, and if you mean business with God, Jesus knows your heart. He'll forgive you your sins. He'll change your life. He'll make you one of His. I'm going to ask that all of us pray this prayer as I lead these that raise their hands in this prayer. You pray it with us. Lord Jesus, I thank You that You came to this earth many years ago to save me from my sin. I ask You to forgive me, Lord. Come into my life. Change me. Transform me. Make me one of Yours. Lord, I put my trust in You. And I believe that You're going to save me. And I thank You for that. It's in Your precious name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Now, if you meant that, the Lord Jesus heard your prayer and He's changed your life because you've trusted Him. Maybe some others that have some difficulties in relationships. Maybe you've gotten some bad news from the doctor. I want to pray over you. If you've got a problem in regard to your health, would you just slip your hand up and slip it back down? Thank You, 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 thank You. Maybe you have a problem with a relationship in your family and you need to be restored. You want God to grant you wisdom to restore that relationship. If that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up, slip it back down? Thank You, thank You. Thank all of you. Thank you. And as I dismiss us in prayer, I'm going to pray over our prayer request list also. So many names on here. So much discouragement. So many people hurting today. But you know, we serve an awesome God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He hears our prayers and He responds to our needs. Would you pray with me as I pray for these that have lifted their hands and for these that are on this card? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to come to this place tonight and to worship You. You are an awesome God. You're worthy of all of our praise, Lord, because You redeemed us by Your precious blood and the giving of Your life. But Lord, You didn't stay dead because You've got resurrection power. You came out of that grave demonstrating that You're Lord of all. There is nothing greater than You. And so, Lord, we come tonight and we ask You about these that are on our prayer list, Lord. So many that are facing cancer and, Lord, being devastated by the news that the doctor's given them. Others, Lord, that have other ailments and illnesses and need strengthening of their bodies. Lord, I pray that right now Your divine power would go forth. I pray, Lord, that You as our healer would move among Your people. Lord, that Your grace would go forth and Your healing power will touch their bodies and raise them up. Lord, give them encouragement. Give them strength as they go through what they're facing. And I pray that, Lord, You'll raise them up to be trophies to Your outstanding grace and power. Lord, for some that raise their hand here tonight about relationships in their family, I pray, Lord, that you will grant them wisdom. You're a God of restoration. Lord, you're a God that seeks redeeming situations. And I pray that tonight, Lord, you will speak to their hearts, that you'll open their eyes, grant them wisdom in how they should approach this relationship. And I pray that, Lord, you'll open doors of opportunity and that you will put things back together. And we'll thank you for that. Lord, these that raise their hands to be saved, I pray, Lord, that you've transformed their lives, that you'll help them get into a place where they can study your word and have fellowship with Christians. And Lord, you can help them come to know you in a more complete way. Lord, as these people go from this place tonight, I pray that you'll give us traveling mercy. I pray that you will bless them. I pray that, Lord, they will feel uplifted and encouraged because you have been here with us tonight. We give you praise and thanksgiving for that. And it's in your precious name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.